This is Judith Leigh saying Moramai, good morning and welcome, as once again the island's Christian community is at your service. Manx Radio. At exactly this time last year, I was on pilgrimage in the Holy Land, spending 10 days in Israel, along with around 30 other people, some from the island and others from the UK. We were led by Reverend Steve Ingruel, Methodist minister based here in Onchan, Steve's father, Reverend Rod Ingruel from Weston-super-Mare, and Reverend Dawn Harrison, an Anglican priest in ministry on Merseyside. Our brilliant local guide in Israel was Susie Rosedale, and our intrepid coach driver, Elia. And together they gave us an unforgettable experience. But how the world has changed since then, and how blessed we were to be able to make that journey. On the programme this week, I'm inviting some of my fellow pilgrims to share their thoughts and memories from that time. So the words of Colin and Margaret Brown, Chido Maunze and Sandra and Howard Parkin will be mixed with some hymns and with some clips of recordings that I made during our times of prayer and reflection as we moved from place to place in the steps of Jesus and his followers. We began the pilgrimage on the shores of the Sea of Galilee, and after exploring the places where Jesus taught and healed the sick, we moved to Jerusalem to recall the last days of Jesus' life on earth, the journey to his death and his resurrection.
As the deer panteth for the water, so my soul longeth after thee. Alone are my heart's desire, and I long to worship thee. You alone are my strength, my shield. To you alone may my spirit desire, and I long to worship thee.
It's a year ago now, and looking back at the standout moments, I think on the first day for me it was the Sea of Galilee, and just standing on the shores and looking out at the Sea of Galilee was certainly a memorable moment for me.
When we got to the hotel in Tiberias, opening the curtains and then looking out into the lake, that was special. There was a little church we went to where we were right by the lake, and we had our first devotional with Stephen Dawn and Rod. We had such great leaders. I have really fond memories when I think of Susie, because I think she and Ilya, our driver, they really helped to make that trip very special. Susie, with her very deep knowledge of Israel and her life experiences and how she weaved the stories about the land and her experiences into how she guided us along the trip. We were very privileged to have her.
And then later in the afternoon, we had a sail and Holy Communion on actually the lake itself. It was just really calm. The boat engine got switched off. Everything was quiet. It was just so peaceful.
Together we have remembered Christ's death. Let us now celebrate his life, for he is risen and with us today.
Amen.
I will sing a
the world. We treated it originally as a holiday, but it wasn't a holiday. It was life-changing in some respects because it was something so totally different. It was spiritual. I'll remember as long as I live that first morning standing on the lakefront.
And for me, on the first day, was the Mount of Beatitudes. I often read the lesson in church, in Onken Methodist Church, and we took turns when we were away in Israel in reading passages from the Bible. And I read on this particular day the Beatitudes, and it was quite an experience reading parts of the Bible which you'd read before in a church context.
And that was so appropriate to stand in these various locations and actually sing a hymn that had relevance to that location. And now every time a hymn comes up in church, which seems to be quite often, we just look at each other and smile. One of the things I recall vividly was we went to a place called Magdala. That was most impressive, but on the way back, we called to this place where they'd uncovered a boat from the first century. It was at the Sea of Galilee where this boat had been uncovered at low water and they've preserved it. But this boat was there when Jesus was there. And it was just incredible. Now, we speak at length in the British Isles about the Mary Rose and other boats. This is 2,000 years ago. And this was potentially there when Jesus could have been on that boat. Who knows? And that was absolutely amazing for me.
It became real to me what Steve had always said. Israel is the fifth gospel. I really found it to be so. And even now, when I am back and I am reading my Bible, and I'm reading certain stories, they take me back to where we were. If I'm reading John and reading about Jesus's first miracle, it takes me to where we had renewal of wedding vows.
Sandra, you and your husband Howard, you renewed your marriage vows. It was at Cana, it was the site of where Jesus worked his first miracle at the marriage feast. And we have Colin and Margaret Brown here on the programme this morning. They too renewed their marriage vows.
It was a special moment to think that you could do it in a place like that. It was just, I don't know, it was awesome.
Surreal, awesome. Those are the words that spring to mind.
Definitely a standout moment for both of us would be when we renewed our wedding vows in Cana under an olive tree. We had actually been going to do it at All Saints Church where we got married before the church sadly closed. But when they had an afternoon tea for those that got married in All Saints Church and to renew the vows, we were actually off the island, so we were really disappointed. But this fell within the year of our golden wedding when we renewed them at Cana, as did two other couples. We had lovely support from the rest of the group. I mean, we'd only known them for a day, but it was certainly an experience that we will always look back on, I think, very fondly, won't we?
And to thank the two guides for their help in setting this up. Originally, it was just going to be us, but when others heard about it, they decided they would like to do the same thing. So it was a really nice day. And to go into the garden under the olive tree, which was so quiet and peaceful, in contrast to the busy road outside.
Be still for the glory of the Lord is shining all around. He burns with holy fire, with splendor he is crowned. How awesome is the sight.
We had the day where we travelled from Galilee to Jerusalem, stopped at Yardanae, where some of the group had a total immersion baptism, and that was really moving to watch.
When we went to Yardanae, I got baptised there, again with my mom, Steve did, and a number of people. When I had my baptism in my church, they baptise you as a child. But to me, I always felt like, I want to be baptised, knowing that I am a follower of Christ. So one of the things that I really looked forward to was being baptized in the Jordan. It's not what determines my spirituality, but for me, it was just a special thing.
Also on the Saturday, we travelled to Betchin, which was one of the highlights for me. That was a city which was destroyed by an earthquake in 749. It was a Byzantine city which housed the remains of the splendour that was Rome. It had largely been left as it was when the earthquake struck, and beautiful ornate pillars could be seen largely lying over the side, broken in pieces. And excavations had been carried out which had unearthed boathouses, a Roman theatre, and, would you believe, latrines where people sat in a row to do what they needed to do. And the site had also housed a small Crusader fortress which had been built during the constant battles for control of the Holy Land. The Crusades have been one of my main historical interests over the years. And I might mention that another highlight, although in a different form, was the visit of a couple of days later to the Church of St. Anne in Jerusalem, which is one of the best preserved Crusader churches in the city. And it's renowned for its remarkable acoustics that can make even a small party like ourselves sound like a cathedral choir. I mean, Marjorie will bear me out that I can't sing a note. I love music, but I can't sing a note. But the acoustics there turned even my voice into something special. It really had to be seen to be believed.
When you got there and you saw all the things that you read about in the Bible, the stories that you did at Sunday school, especially what sticks in my mind was the Good Samaritan. And we were stood looking down on the pathway of the Good Samaritan. And then the next thing is these donkeys came up, and just as if it would have been in Jesus' time. There was another memory of when we went down a valley and Steve said to us, this is the way that Jesus would have gone to Nazareth from the Sea of Galilee. And you just think, this is the pathway that he actually walked on. And that, I thought, was incredible, really.
We attended a Palestinian Eucharist with translations in the beautiful St. George's Church in Jerusalem. And one of the celebrants was the Reverend Hosan Naum, the Dean of Jerusalem. And later the intention had been that he was to talk to our two group and would no doubt have touched on the Israeli-Palestinian situation. I've been particularly interested in the Middle East and was really looking forward to his talk. But unfortunately, he was called away to attend an important church meeting.
And for me, there was just such a contrast from the relative quiet of Galilee to the bustle and packed crowds of Jerusalem. There were such wonderful sights there in Jerusalem, the Temple Mount excavations, the site of the first and second Temple of Jerusalem. We stood on the ancient pilgrim steps where Jesus would have actually walked. It's amazing to think you've heard about all these things, but to actually be there.
Going to Jerusalem was very interesting. Just to see the temple and where the original site was, and just to be able to stand and to be able to say, I am where Jesus stood. And now when I read about where Jesus says to his parents, didn't you know that I would be in my Father's house? It also puts that into context as well.
And then just around the corner was the Western Wall, which is a place of prayer and pilgrimage sacred to the Jewish community.
Yes, the Western Wall, there's two sections. There's the male section and the female section. And what amazes you, it wasn't just the memory of it or the history of it, but all these modern day Jews who are there at the wall, bowing their heads, hands on the wall, praying.
And the dedication of those people, as did this day in, day out. These people, they are just so dedicated to their religion.
when we walked down and we walked through Jerusalem, that was like the culmination of everything. It's the culmination of all of your belief.
It's your faith, it's your belief. Yes. It's something you have with you all your life, and all of a sudden to see it in reality.
Amazing places, the Garden of Gethsemane, and then walking on the Via Dolorosa, the route Jesus took to his crucifixion 2,000 years ago. The different stations of the cross where he fell the first and second time, and then the Church of the Holy Sepulchre. What a contrast that was. We went at tea time one day and it was just so packed. So what the tour party did, we went back early morning the next morning when it first opened, and the streets were almost empty. It was just incredible, the difference. And you were able to go and see the site where Jesus was crucified, called Golgotha, within the Church of the Holy Sepulchre, which itself dates back to about the 4th century, and then the empty tomb where Jesus was resurrected. So they were incredible sights, as was then the next day when we went to Bethlehem Church of the Nativity on the West Bank, where we saw the birthplace of Jesus.
As you're driving in, going to Bethlehem, the first thing you see, tragically, is the separation wall. You're reminded of all the conflict that is there. Mm-hmm. And that's a sadness, isn't it?
You saw the other side, really, then, didn't you, with the walls up, and visited a hospital that had been set up, because when those walls were first put up, the people, the wrong side of the wall, as it were, couldn't even go to a hospital. So a charity had set a hospital up and were doing wonderful work there.
I wish when you see a map of Israel, I wish that you could put it all together. I think the people are just, the ordinary people are just like everybody else. They want to live their lives, have a job, and they've got this all conflict that's going on, and the wall. And when you hear about ambulances who couldn't get the people to the hospital, and people were just dying in the ambulances, we shouldn't be having things like that.
The overall experience, really, of the religious side, of the history side, and unfortunately too of the sadness of still the political situation, when you see the division in the different areas and the walls still up.
When we went to Bethlehem, we went to a place called Shepherd's Fields. And while we were there, even though it was only October time, we sang It Came Upon the Midnight Clear. And it was very poignant because it was going dark and we could look over the field about everything that was there. And the words that came to mind was, "Peace on the earth, goodwill to men, from heaven's all-gracious King."
A picture where it says, "Pray for the peace of Jerusalem." I love to go back and look at that as a physical reminder to say, yes, we need to pray for the peace of Jerusalem. And when we pray for the peace of Jerusalem and the region around, going to Bethlehem where we had the differences, going into the church and into the shepherd's field, it was all very peaceful. But passing through the town, there isn't that peace. But it reminds me that this is our call to continue praying. There is a lot to pray for there. Well, one of the souvenirs I took from the Holy Land was the Jerusalem cross. And I learned a little bit about it. It's like square in shape, and you have the big cross and then the four little crosses. And it talks about how Jerusalem is in the heart of the world. And then those four crosses remind us to pray for the world from Jerusalem. So for me, it now feels like when you're praying for the peace of Jerusalem, I'm not just praying for the peace of Jerusalem and Israel. I'm praying for the peace of all the four corners of the world. I am including Zimbabwe in there. I am including the Isle of Man. I'm including the UK. I'm including the USA. And if you notice, I've just talked about places that I have physically been. So it reminds me to pray for all those places, even places I haven't been in.
I was surprised how much I enjoyed where the leaders, the Reverend Steve, Rod and Dawn, always found a quiet place where we could sit and have a reflection and sing a hymn. And I found that quite a moving experience.
You were talking about Aries that you'd only read about in the Bible, and it was quite amazing to actually be there and put yourself back in time to where Jesus had walked in these places. And another of the highlights, I think, was the visit to Masada. Now, some of your listeners may have seen the film called Masada, which I think starred Peter O'Toole, and it told the story of a small number of Jewish zealots who, after the fall of Jerusalem, took to the top of Masada Mountain and kept the Romans at bay for a year or more. We drove along the shore of the Dead Sea and then took a cable car up to the summit, and it didn't take much imagination to imagine how these people must have felt, knowing that probably eventually the Romans were going to break through and they would probably go into captivity or death. In reality, when the Romans were on the verge of breaking through, the 900 or so inhabitants of the top of the mountain committed a mass suicide, so that when the Romans got to the top of the mountain, they found a terrible scene of carnage. That was a highlight for me, and just putting myself in the position of these brave people.
It's a very sad story. You know, they all chose to commit suicide then to live in slavery and be captured again. But I also like how in the modern days, the young soldiers go for national service. They go up there and they make a vow to say, Masada, never again, Masada. And to be there and do it there, I think it must make an impression in the young soldiers.
But it was an amazing experience, an amazing country to visit, and so well organised by the leaders too. And as I say, looking back, we were just so lucky to be able to do it. The whole group, some were from the Isle of Man, some were from England, and we all got on really well.
It definitely has impacted my faith. I think made it stronger because I have that physical image. I think I will carry that whole pilgrimage for a long time. It had been a long time since I had had the desire to go there. In the fullness of time, God opened it up for me, and I feel it was the right time with the right people. There is a scripture that says, He makes all things beautiful in His time. And the pilgrimage to the Holy Land for me is a living picture of how He does make all things beautiful in time.
You alone are my heart's desire, and I long to worship Thee. And I long to worship Thee.
Thank you to Sandra and Howard Parkin, Chido Maunze and Colin and Margaret Brown for sharing their thoughts and memories of our time in the Holy Land exactly a year ago. Reverend Steve Ingruel leads regular pilgrimages to Israel when the conditions permit. If you'd like to be put on his mailing list, you can find his contact details in the phone book or via social media. Let's finish now with some news of services later today and in the week ahead, where you'll be made very welcome. There's a Blessing the Plough and Farmers Celebration service in Selby Methodist Church this morning at 10:30. It'll be led by Derek with music by Crosby Silver Band. This afternoon at 3:30, there'll be a special festal evensong to celebrate the 40th anniversary of the hallowing of the cathedral in Peel. That service is also being live-streamed. Just go to the cathedral website, cathedral.im, and you'll find a link that will connect you easily to the cathedral's YouTube channel. And also this afternoon, there'll be a special service for All Souls Day, remembering the faithful departed, and that's in Kirkmackled, Mackled Parish Church, this afternoon at 3:30. There's no 10:30 service this morning in Christchurch in Laxey. Instead, there'll be a light a candle service this afternoon at 4:00 on the eve of All Souls Day to give you the opportunity of meeting together to remember family and friends who've died recently or indeed at any time. And this might be of special importance to you if you have lost loved ones across this year and haven't been able to attend the funeral.
There's a warm welcome for everyone, and you're invited to stay and share light refreshments afterwards. This evening at 6:30, the Mariners' Choir will be in Port Erin Methodist Church, when the preacher will be Reverend Richard Hooton. Also tonight at 6:30 in Dalby, there'll be a quiet, reflective evening memorial service for All Saints and All Souls Day to give thanks for those we love who are no longer with us, to light a candle in their memory and to remember others grieving across the world who have lost loved ones during the COVID pandemic. Everyone is welcome. There'll be refreshments after the service, and that's in St James's Church in Dalby tonight at 6:30. Moving on to tomorrow, and flagstones that were laid in Andrea's church 2 centuries ago are wearing out and soon to be replaced, and those original stones will be given to Manx National Heritage to use in maintenance of Peel Castle. There's to be a ceremony in Kirk Andrea's tomorrow evening to celebrate the memories and dedicate all future works. The ceremony in St Andrew's Church, Andrea's, starts at 6:00 tomorrow evening. As tomorrow is also All Souls Day, there will be an opportunity in the service to remember loved ones who are no longer with us. And people can light a candle in memory of those who are dear to them. That's tomorrow evening at 6:00 in Kirk Andrea's. On Tuesday the 3rd at 12 noon, there's another community lunch in Balaff Parish Church. And on Wednesday the 4th in Christchurch in Laxey, Londu Choir will be in concert. Admission is £7.50 and the concert starts at 7:30 on Wednesday evening. There's a hot lunch and chat on offer in Selby Methodist Church this Friday at noon. A 3-course lunch with hot drinks for just £10 per person. Ring Ruth to reserve your place, and her number is 897-364. 897-364. There's a pop-up and pop-in event this Saturday in Selby. It's the famous St Jude's Soup Day on Saturday the 7th in Selby Community Hall on Clenock Road, just a few yards down the road from the Selby Glen pub. Pop in between 11 a.m. and 3 p.m. for hearty soups with jams, cakes and bakes to eat in or take away. And also next Saturday, there'll be the monthly craft market at Glenmay Chapel and Community Centre, open from 11 a.m. to 3 p.m. for homemade produce and handicrafts by local artists, artwork and so much more. Free admission with homemade lunches on sale, and they'll include those famous bacon baps and homemade cakes. And finally, a reminder that there'll be a remembrance service in the Promenade Methodist Church here in Douglas next Sunday, November the 8th, at 10:30. And then weekly services will restart again in the Prom Church on the first Sunday of Advent. That's November the 29th. And as you might imagine, at your service next Sunday will be a special programme of readings, prayers, reflections and music for Remembrance Sunday. But that's all we've time for today. Do please join me again later if you can, as there'll be more news from the church notice board tonight on Sundown from 9:00. As always, my special thanks to you for your company today. If you'd like to choose a hymn for the programme, you can email me anytime on judithleigh@manxradio.com, and Leigh is spelt L-E-Y. I'll be back here next Sunday morning, either from 7 a.m. as a podcast via our website, manxradio.com, or on your radio at 9:30, when the Christian community of the island will once again be at your service. But right now, this is Judith, thinking of you and those you love and those you're parted from at this time. I wish you a safe and blessed week, and a very good morning. Nations.